This podcast is brought to you by Soapbox. Start your own podcast today at www.soapbox.host.
Welcome back to Wednesday at 9 p.m., Season 2, Episode 8. Tonight, we'll be looking into why my line of work may be involved with the pyramids of Egypt, why pyramids in general are good for the soul, and why ancient Egyptians may be ultrasonic wizards.
I like that last one.
Thanks.
You didn't like the first one?
I liked them
my
all.
Line of work.
That yeah, last
gotta,
one.
Gotta get people hooked.
I'm hooked, Aaron.
Yeah, this is gonna be a little all over the place. And as you guys can imagine, based on the pyramids of Egypt, it's not gonna be a lot of firsthand stories. It's gonna be more theories of what happened. If it was firsthand stories, that would be awesome, but
that would be
alas
something.
I don't think we have any of those. But before we get into it,
shout out to my mother, of course, who will listen to this episode when it comes out, and shout out to David Hoy. Hopefully you're still with us.
Shout out from my end to Sarah and to Cameron, who fearlessly led us in soccer, though we won no games the entire season,
but or last season.
Or last season. But we tried.
And last but not least, we got some shout outs from my end. Shout out to Fallon. Shout out to Nick. Or no, to Troy from Nick. I always get it mixed up. I don't know why. Season 2, I've got it twisted. And a
don't
shout
get
out
it twisted.
To. I know. I got a shout out to my coworker Dale, who's in Aruba right now. But
nice.
He gave me the inspiration for this episode when he was talking about the History Channel talking about it. So,
oh boy.
I doubt he'll listen to it, but you know, maybe he will.
Does History Channel content factor into tonight's episode?
I mean, not directly. I pulled from a variety of sources, including but not limited to Wikipedia, some random Egypt tours portal, PE Impact, and LinkedIn.
So, LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Yeah. I got a LinkedIn source.
That'll be great.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess we'll get right to it. So how this is gonna work, I'm gonna kind of take you guys through some of the lame theories, like what science dictates. Just imagine some air quotes.
We hate science.
We hate science. I mean, there's still a lot, even though this thing has been on the earth for like 4,500 years, we still don't understand fully how it was built, which is why so many people have come up with so many diverse theories. I guess before I get into it, what do you guys know slash, well, I'll ask you what you think at the end, but what do you guys, what kind of theories base level have you heard about the Great Pyramids?
Sure. Sure. Well, I've heard a lot about the pyramids. My understanding is that there are many different pyramids in Egypt, and not all of them have, or they were made over different eras in ancient Egypt. Some of them, we have historical records of them being built and what pharaohs built them. But some of them, I think the Pyramid of Giza or the Great Pyramid, I forget. The records show that it was just there for as long as people could remember, like as far as historical records go back. So I've heard theories that there were the OG pyramids or pyramid and all the other ones that came during like the ancient Egyptian time that we know about are just poor copies of the original one. I've heard legends that prior civilizations besides the Egyptians created that first pyramid. I've heard legends that the pyramids are batteries, that they're fertilizers for grass in the area, all sorts of crazy like earth energy things. I heard lots of crazy things about pyramids.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna talk a little bit about all of that, I think.
Beautiful.
So, Not too deep, just kind of like...
Well, I don't think you could get very deep in any of these.
Well, you could if you found the right book from the right person.
That's true.
But yes. I don't know if we want to do that, but we could.
Yeah, I didn't really feel like spending my weekend deep diving into conspiracy theories about the Egyptian pyramids. But for those of you listening at home and have too much time on your hands, go check out some books at your local library. Nick, what do you know? Or is it pretty much shared knowledge between you and Frank?
I mean, very similar things. Frank and I listen to the same podcast.
Yeah, he mooches off my podcast subscription.
Whoa, this is going on air. Don't let him know.
Oh, shoot. No, yeah, we have separate
podcast
ones.
Subscriptions. Frank, I feel like we forgot to do the announcement for Soapbox.
Thank you, Aaron. Speaking of podcast stuff, this episode is brought to you by Soapbox Hosting. Soapbox Hosting is the easiest and most accessible way to host your own podcast. Go to soapbox.host to sign up and get your podcast out there now with direct support from its creator, me. That's all.
Awesome. I think in the future we should get like some like promotion codes, like enter Wednesday at 9 p.m. 25 to get 25% off your first month.
That's a great idea, actually. Yeah, no, that's such a good idea.
Yeah. Where's my cut? Anyway, enough dilly-dally with this Hobjob production we have after 30-something episodes. Starting with the lame theories, just get them out of the way. Nobody wants to hear about them, but
of course,
I feel like we should talk about them and acknowledge science. So I feel like I'm talking about quantum physics here because it's got like weird names like the ramp theory and the water shaft theory. So I'm going to start with the ramp theory, which is the most common and most probably based in scientific theory, but a lot of Egyptologists believe the Egyptians used ramps to move these giant stones into place and used a bulk of slave labor to achieve the job. And within the scientific community, not to put you guys to sleep, there's debates on what kind of ramps were used, whether it's straight ramps or curved ramps, ramps built inside the pyramid, ramps built outside the pyramid. And this also applies, I believe, to the quarry itself. So like they needed to get the stone from the quarry and move it to the pyramids because they didn't just get the stone at the construction site. So I think that one of the types of ramps that was found in one of the quarries, the Hatnub quarry, they found a ramp system that could be used to transport alabaster stone for the pyramid for the pharaoh Khufu. Apologies if I'm butchering that name. But one thing to note about the Giza pyramids is they were not built with alabaster. They were built with granite.
Interesting.
So it makes you wonder, okay, yeah, sure, they could build one of them with alabaster, but what about the rest of them? Like, granite's a lot heavier than alabaster. If I remember geology from eighth grade well enough, because I'm not sure. Alabaster. Now I'm curious. Yeah, it's used for like vases and ornaments, so it's a lot lighter than granite, so makes sense why you could move it a lot easier than granite. So basically, not to harp on this too much, but the idea is you take the giant stones and you put them on sleds from like in the quarry, and then you just get tens of thousands of workers and just pull it on sleds.
Wow.
I mean, we've played Civ.
Yeah, it's certainly when you take a step back to think about it, makes you wonder, like, is this more plausible than the other things I'm about to talk about?
Yeah.
Like tens of thousands of people.
You're saying 10,000 people per
stone, I believe. So,
oh my goodness.
I don't know if I touch on this later, just the sheer like craziness of how much work they would need to put in for how long. But it's very like, why would you ever do this? It cannot possibly be worth it. But nonetheless, there's documentation and ancient wall paintings of sleds being used and paintings of giant statues being pulled by hundreds of men. So like, it could have been a thing and probably was, but this is kind of boring. And now you guys might be thinking, and I'm sure you are because you guys love physics. Hey,
yes,
it must be really tough to pull these things across the sand, right? Even on sleds. Yeah. Well, never to fear, because they used water and they made this the sand wet.
What do you
so that hold you up. Could easily pull the sled.
Can you explain further?
Can I? So they took a bunch of water, presumably from the nearby river, like the Nile, I think. And they took the water and they poured it on the sand so that they could pull the sled across the wet sand versus the dry sand.
So they had...
Because, go ahead.
So I guess, you know what? I guess if it's on the scale of tens of thousands of people... I guess you can afford a few thousand to just keep carrying water and pouring it in front of the sleds.
Yeah.
It's like they were just curling.
I mean, basically. Yeah, if you think about it that way, yeah, they're just kind of reducing the friction between the sand and the sled by putting a layer of water. And it's kind of like sandcastles. Like, you know, it's a lot easier to build with the wet compact sand than it is the dry sand. So it's the same kind of idea, but this is the first of our theories. Boring, I know, listeners, stay with me, it's gonna get crazy.
So can I quick interject and ask,
absolutely,
even if this is wait, let me rephrase that. So there's some evidence that this might be, or this definitely was, a system that was used some point in ancient times to move large stones, and perhaps was even used for some of the more recent pyramids, but not necessarily for the oldest pyramids, like the granite pyramids. So it could be that this is a partial explanation for some of the pyramids. Is that an accurate understanding?
I think so. Like,
what do you make of this theory? How much credence do you give it?
Well, based on like some of the stuff that I read, it seems plausible in terms of like, yeah, if you had tens of thousands of people and you pulled it on sleds, yes, it could work. Like, just from a physics perspective, yeah, you could get it done that way. But just the practicality of it, like, A, how are you feeding all these people? B, you're really gonna subject that many people to just build day in, day out, and like, for what? The pyramids? And it would still take you like hundreds, if not thousands of years to build. Like, are you kidding me? Why would you ever do that?
Because they look cool.
I mean, that's true. And, you know, pyramids do have a certain beauty and power to them, which I'll touch on later. But it just seems very impractical. And absurd to think about.
Now, Aaron, did anything come up in your research about how different the pyramids were back then versus now? Like, were they covered in alabaster back then, or granite?
I think I saw something when I talk about concrete. I saw stuff like, oh yeah, they just used something to coat the pyramids with.
That's
and
no longer
like,
there.
Covered. I don't know. I think over time it has, you know, chipped away. But I think they did like cover it in some sort of material.
Gotcha.
Why do you ask?
I'm just curious because it just makes you think of like, people think of the ancient Greek statues. They think of everything being whitewashed. But those statues were colored in very bright colors. So our when we look at the pyramids now, that's not necessarily what they looked like at all in their heyday.
That's true. I would imagine they were a lot smoother looking and a lot, it could have even been like a brighter color, but
probably I didn't really crazy look into, sights, right?
into the boring stuff too much.
Sure.
But I'm going to get through there's two more lame theories and then we'll get to the fun stuff. So the next idea of how to move the stones was the water shaft theory. So basically you get the water from the Nile and you build a canal to essentially float the stones across the water and just like shift it into place in the pyramid. And so they made floats of cedar and inflated animal skins, wrapped in papyrus, pushed the stones onto the rafts and floated it down the river. This would take a lot less manpower, except for the fact that you have to build canals and a moat and all that. So it's a different way of thinking about it. I don't know if there's a lot of detail in history about this other than the fact that, yeah, the pyramid has some imperfections. It's not perfect. There's traces of water damage or like water erosion at a time. Yeah, not a lot to say about this one other than, you know, the explanation of the idea. You extend the water pipelines as the pyramid grows in size. So it's pretty much all I got about that one. It's not anything exciting, but it seems like the look on your faces say otherwise.
So the traces of water, because Frank and I have heard a lot of crazy things about Egypt and the pyramids, is that any water damage, that's not from these canals. That's because the giant flood, like the flood myth that is prevalent in many cultures, including in the West in the Bible, happened and the pyramids were around at that time, and they had erosion, or they had eroded because of that.
They were built in the middle of like big lakes or something.
Yeah. I did see something about like, oh yeah, based on, you know, like the Bible and how things are all like, how the dates all line up. Yeah, these things would be like pre-Adam, which I didn't look into that as much. I didn't want to get all religious up in this.
Yeah, no, that's like young earth creationists.
Just
something that we've heard over the years.
I did see something about that where, you know, if they're pre-Adam, then they're pre the great flood. So like,
that's interesting, because I know people of that belief date creation to be around 6,000 years ago, which obviously is quite shorter a time frame than what the current accepted scientific consensus is, which is
4 billion years ago.
The Earth 4 billion years ago, and for people it's like keeps getting pushed back. It's like there's records of, I believe, modern humans like 100,000 years ago. So yeah, it's always interesting like when people try to tie it back to that. But I love the water theory. I just love the idea. It's like they didn't need 10,000 people. They just floated the rocks. They just floated the stuff on big boats right up to the pyramid.
Again, it seems so absurd to think about. Like, yeah, you have this ginormous stone and you just float it on the water. Like, no biggie. Before the invention of a lot of things, just like, it's floated.
Water.
Yeah, before the invention of water, they floated it on water. Good job, Nick. But I'm not going to belabor the point. It's ridiculous, but scientifically could be true, yada yada. Last lame theory, concrete. So what if they didn't move the stones at all? You know, it's a lot lighter than stone. A lot of crushed up stone.
True.
So what if you take the limestone dust and some clay and you bind it together and make concrete and you just make the stones at the site?
Wait, I have such a stupid question. Okay. Is dust, would like dust be lighter than...
Well, you wouldn't have to carry it all at once. You could bring bit by bit. Like, you don't have to...
Instead of one giant piece of rock, you break that piece of rock into a bunch of dust. And then maybe after four loads, okay, that's the one stone, but broken down. But you
can
actually move it.
I thought you meant like you take a stone, you turn it into dust, and then you carry that and somehow it's lighter.
It's like a kilogram of steel versus a kilogram of feathers. I was like, wait,
wouldn't dust be heavier because it would be more tightly packed? Like you could fit more dust.
No, it wouldn't be heavier. If anything, it would be lighter just because
in the volume of a stone,
a lot of it.
There's if you packed in the volume of a stone with dust. So there's more dust than there was for the dust of the stone. Wouldn't that be heavier than the stone that takes up the same volume?
Nick, do we have to sit here and explain how conservation of mass works?
No.
You're not making more things.
I'm saying if you had more dust to fill in the space that a rock took, wouldn't the dust of that same volume
be... You're not adding the dust.
I'm saying you are adding the dust.
Where are you getting the dust from?
The other rock.
What other rock?
There's so many. What are you talking? You think the pyramid was hewn out of one rock?
Actually, I think there was not one like block, but I did see a theory that maybe the pyramids were hills and they just carved pyramids instead of building it, they just destroyed and hacked away at it.
Like in Minecraft, when you start with like a mountain.
Yeah, terraform.
You terraform. That's kind of crazy. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, not to belabor the point.
No, I don't understand.
Yes, you... If you... Like, ice is spice. Lighter
if
than...
If I have a piece of bread...
Isn't ice lighter than water? Because...
Okay, that's different, because that's a different state of matter. This is still solid to solid.
Yes, but if you take a rock...
If I take a piece of bread... And I rip it into small pieces, it's still going to weigh the same.
No.
Whether it's in those small pieces or in a giant loaf of bread.
That's not true. No, that's not true. Because.
What do you mean that's not true? Do we have to take five here and explain to you how breaking things apart work?
You're adding more dust to fill up the space that the rock took. So it's not an equal amount of dust and rock.
I'm not following, but
oh my god, it's if you had a perfect square rock, it's one foot by 1 foot by 1 foot, right?
But you're never gonna have the perfect square rock because whether you use dust or a giant hunk of rock,
it's
gonna be the same amount of volume taken up.
What? No, I'm saying if you had one cubic foot rock.
Okay.
And you think of the molecules in that solid rock are somewhat spaced out, right? But like pretty closely packed because it's like a dense rock. If you took that space and filled it up with as much rock dust as it could fit, that would be heavier than the rock because presumably the particles would be closer together because there's no bonds between them forming them into a solid object. So it'd be more.
Understand.
So it'd be heavier.
I understand what you're trying to say, but I disagree because you're making the same end product, so it's going to weigh the same. You're not adding anything.
You don't?
But
okay.
We'll take it offline.
I can't believe that you're of that opinion, but okay, we'll continue.
So, sorry, listeners, if this didn't get cut. But
I'm not
the crazy
it.
Part about this would be that this would mean Egyptians discovered concrete 2,000 years before the Romans did.
Yeah, because the Romans suck. And they just stole everything from the Greeks.
I mean, that's true.
Okay, but I don't think they stole concrete from the Greeks.
No, probably not.
They had their own concrete that was lost to time until recently.
The Romans?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like self-fixing or something, right? Yeah.
Or was that the Egyptians first, you're saying?
Could be. I don't know. We don't know.
How much space did the concrete take
this
up?
This is a little, again, a little preposterous because, like, the modern concrete we have today lasts at best 150 years.
That's kind of crazy short. So,
yeah, well, it's we either lack the critical information they had, or it's just how it is. But this would mean that the Egyptians would have developed concrete technology that would last 4,500 years to our 150. It's 30 times better. I don't believe it.
Okay, so
now, what do you guys think, other than about the size and weight of the rock?
Yeah, I'll let Nick take this one because I'm still seething.
I mean, I don't want to spoil anything. I'm not reading ahead in any notes, but there is other, ideas that maybe the pyramids are made from like another material. Concrete, I guess, is one case. And yeah, it is just, they were advanced enough that it was just that good. Now, that's what the theory says. Do I think that concrete can last over four millennia? Probably not. So I don't think so. Don't think this is the one, but
yeah,
maybe it was coated in something like we were talking about earlier, and that's why it kind of is doing fine. But
yeah,
I definitely don't think they made a man-made material that lasted 4,500 years. It's not plastic.
Yeah. And another point that I had forgotten to write down and mention, they tested some of the stone for clay, and I don't think they found any evidence of clay at all. Oh, so
well,
they would need some other binding agent of some kind, which would be even crazier if they had something else.
Mm-hmm.
But again, nothing man-made would make sense in this theory.
Now, maybe it was not man-made.
Or like technologically
as woman-made.
Extreme man-made.
Yes.
Well,
okay. Go ahead, Frank.
The only note I have on this is I'm of the firm belief that there are lost technologies. Right? I mean, think about how hard it is to pass down information. We have the internet now, which is helpful, but how often do you click on a link and it's a 404?
So that's just because people didn't comment their code.
No, it's easy explanation. Stop paying for websites.
Well, yeah, exactly. Any sort of information. I know. That's sad. I can't buy it back because now it's just held and not even. What a waste. It's hard to pass down knowledge. So, I think humanity forgets things all the time. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Interesting. You mentioned passing down knowledge because that might have been why the pyramids were built. But get into that in some sense. So I don't know what order I should do this in. Maybe I should just go based on the order I looked at it in. Aliens.
Classic.
It's the classic, the pyramids were built by aliens. Well, when it's not making sense that people built it, like, the traditional story, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is aliens either made the pyramids or gave the people the technology to build the pyramids.
Yeah.
Ancient alien theorists all agree. Now, what's the exact phrase?
Ancient astronaut theorists.
I think it's ancient astronauts is the term.
But there's the term for the people who supposedly study those or like make up the theories that they keep saying in the show. I think it's ancient astronaut theorists. I was just watching it with Sarah. Like
pyramidologists, if you will. Egyptologists.
That's giving them too much credit. But
So I found a book and read a little bit of it. What was on Google Books. called They Built the Pyramids.
Who's it by?
And it is by Joseph Davidovits.
Okay.
It was a link on Wikipedia, and I was like, okay, well, Wikipedia is nice and all, but I'd like to get the primary source. It was actually pretty interesting, the stuff that he talked about. And he did talk about aliens and yada yada. But I would like to read a little excerpt from there, just because it is so interesting, and I can't put it better until I've said it from the source. So, no 20th century state would dare undertake a colossal project using modern techniques, requiring 200,000 to 300,000 workers, several million cubic meters of hewn stone, and millions of francs. The greatest experts estimate that the Egypt at the time of the pyramids had to feed more than 100 million inhabitants and have to be able to achieve such gigantic works. They possessed machines of a power and perfection unknown in our own century. And then there's a little pause and some other text that didn't feel pertinent. A single hypothesis can be the only explanation. The Egyptians must have had as yet unimaginable knowledge of the power of ultrasound and anti-gravitational forces.
Wow, I didn't think you were going to go there right off the bat.
Okay, we have ultrasounds.
Nice. Oh, my mistake.
Checkmate, idiot.
Yeah. So, are you guys familiar with the ultrasound anti-gravity stuff with the pyramids?
Yes.
Okay. So, please fill in any blanks, because I did not... I was worried if I went in too deep, I'd become like a super conspiracy theorist. And
I feel that. I felt that with some episodes before.
Yeah, I didn't want to get in too deep.
It happened. But
continuing his book, it says, an ultrasonic bomb capable of annihilating all animal life within a large town without damaging monuments or objects has been described. In medicine, bones can be broken by ultrasound, and death can be caused by the effect of sound on the brain. So
what does that sentence provide us?
Well, it just provides us the power of ultrasound. Like, okay, yeah, we use it today to determine if you're pregnant, blah, blah, blah. No, this, like, ultrasound can, like, move materials, destroy materials, destroy people. Like, ultrasound's powerful, guys, and I'm just trying to put it into context so you guys don't get it twisted.
I've never heard of the ultrasound bomb.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what he's referencing there.
Ultrasonic bomb. There are hypersonic missiles.
Yeah, but I feel like that's like all just fast.
Well, yeah, what's better, ultra or hyper?
So I looked it up. Wikipedia has a page for sonic weapons or ultrasonic weapons. Oh, okay. They're weapons of various types that use sound to injure or incapacitate an opponent.
Okay.
Some sonic weapons make a focused beam of sound or ultrasound, and others produce a field.
Kind of so, like Havana syndrome or Frank's voice.
What?
All right.
Aaron.
Yes.
Did you come across the name Eric von Daniken at all?
Oh, God.
I think I did. I didn't write it down.
Okay. Do you mind if I mention him?
Sure.
So my understanding of the alien theory is that it was popularized by this insane guy, Eric von Daniken.
Is he still alive?
I think, yes, he is. He's 89, actually.
Oh, my.
Who, I'm pretty sure he's the one who popularized the idea of ancient astronauts. And
I think you're correct.
The whole idea of the pyramids being built by, not necessarily by aliens, but the aliens giving, like you said, aliens giving humans secret knowledge and secret technology to build the pyramids and so on. He wrote a very famous book called Chariots of the Gods, which must have been in like the 60s, late 60s, that popularized it. So like anything you ever read about all that comes from the insane guy, von Daniken. And that History Channel show is all based on his books, like ancient astronauts or ancient aliens. Is that what it's called? Ancient aliens.
Yeah.
The show? Same difference.
Yeah. It's all based on his stuff.
Yep.
It's so funny.
That sounds about right.
If you read his Wikipedia article, because it'll just be like, blah, blah, blah. He was arrested for fraud in this year. And he was like all just the crazy stuff about his life. He's a crazy guy. But I love this idea. But a month ago, Sarah and I watched an episode of Ancient Aliens, and it was talking about this. And for proof of this theory, it switched to a Mayan artifact called the Sarcophagus of Palenque.
Sure. Okay. And put it in the show notes.
We'll put it in the show notes, and I'll send it to you guys right now. I swear it's related.
There is a lot of people say that the pyramids that exist across all the different continents also, you know, had alien interference.
Yeah. It's
common for what?
Okay.
What am I looking at?
Yeah, wait. No, there's no, it's going to be hard for you to still. Let me.
Well, I opened it in browser and I'm not seeing what's going on here.
Yeah, try this link. It's going to be tricky because the background is, if you click on it, the background will be white, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, if you just open it in browser, it works.
Okay, I see it.
But
okay.
What am I looking
at? You can tell me if you want to cut out the section, but I promise you. So what do you guys see when you look at this picture?
I see a person on like a pillow or a throne almost looking up at the sky. And they're like flailing around.
Wrong.
Oh, my bad.
This is an ancient... Or Aaron, what do you see?
No, I mean, I see mostly the same thing.
No.
Some other iconography.
Guys. I do see some like ear-looking things at the bottom.
How can you guys not see this?
Yeah.
This is a spaceman sitting on a rocket-powered spaceship wearing a spacesuit.
Ah, right.
Look at them. He's got... Uh-huh. Look at the very bottom. There's rocket flames.
Okay.
Coming out of the spaceship.
Uh-huh.
The guy is sitting like astronauts do in spaceships where they're like kind of seated looking at the controls.
Yep.
There's levers on...
there's levers.
There's levers somewhere.
Okay, I kind of see it like in the middle.
Yeah, right? There's like, it's machinery. This is an ancient spaceship. This is... On the cover of a sarcophagus. So, you know, imagine like a classic big tomb, like the big long slab cover. Von Däniken was the one who was like, this is very clearly showing a spaceship and a spaceman. And they showed this in the episode in Saturday Night, and we just like, we looked.
Maniacally. We were silent. Laughed.
We just burst into laughter. the mental gymnastics you have to do to be like, this picture, which we'll have in the show notes, is a spaceman on the spaceship, and then they highlighted random sections, and it was just like, here's his helmet, and we're like, he's just highlighted a random section. It was the craziest thing ever. So unfortunately, the whole alien like stuff has people like that behind it, you know, but I think it's plausible without that crazy nonsense that people attach to it. But for some reason, the ancient astronaut theorists are borderline schizophrenic when they look at quote unquote evidence like this thing. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be crazy that ultrasound was used, because I have heard of ultrasound being used to like levitate rocks without effort.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea.
That is so cool.
I think there was a section where he explained like, like the bottoms of the pyramid. Yeah, those were resonance chambers to just make this sound.
So like the whole pyramid like rang or like vibrated?
That's my guess. I didn't, again, look too deep into it, but that's my interpretation of what he was getting at.
I just love that idea. I think, so there's the overarching idea that previous civilizations before us, maybe so far in the distant past that we don't have evidence for them, went down different paths. And whereas we went down technology in the sense of electricity, circuitry, integrated circuits, all that. Other civilizations didn't go down that path, and they went down more like psychic powers and that sort of thing, like psychic technologies. One of those would have been the ability to move objects with sound. Lots of different.
That would be kind of sick.
I know, it's
like,
so
just
cool.
Imagine humming a tone and just like levitating around.
You know, the perfect tone, right?
We need to take a time out. You guys, for my episode, thought it was weird that the spaceship that the deer man showed up in was powered by the women singing, and now it's fine.
That's I was just listening to the episode today, and I should have mentioned this last time, but no, I love that idea. I love that idea.
Okay.
I didn't think about that, Nick.
Yeah. It
had not crossed my mind.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing.
Ultrasonic singing. My mistake.
Isn't that weird? That's way different cultures.
Yeah. I also, so this is a random tidbit of information that was also in the same book they built the pyramids. He references this comic strip. About potions that gives the drinker superhuman force, and he said it's not like too far out of the realm of possibility where they essentially just like these workers just like drank these superhuman strength potions and just tossed the stone into place.
They had Red Bull.
Yeah. Like, they would just, like, toss the stone worker to worker instead of, like, dragging it. They would just, like, toss it to each other. But you never, like, just because we don't have that doesn't mean that other alien races or whatever, they could possess that technology and have given it to us. And we were like, you know what would be cool? If we build something really big while we have the superhuman strength. So what are you guys' thoughts on that?
I gotta wait till I do my long anticipated alchemy episode.
Yeah,
before true. I can maybe say anything.
Yeah, maybe they were just alchemists and aliens weren't involved.
True.
Aaron, I can't help but wonder, are you racist for hear me out. You've probably come across this, Aaron. Do you think it's racist to propose this alien theory because it's implying that the natives couldn't do it on their own?
No.
Yeah, Aaron.
I don't think it's racist.
I know people say that.
I don't think anyone could have done it. It's not a matter of, oh, the Egyptians were stupid. The Egyptians were weak. No,
that's basically what you're saying.
I don't think anybody, I don't even think the entire population of the world at that time could have collectively gotten together and done this puzzle.
Wait, then what do you think they, what is your take? What do you
something
think they did?
Had to intervene, Frank. Something or someone.
Are you memeing or is that what you're saying as your?
No, I mean, like, realistically, yeah, it's probably just like the power of the people, but like, that's boring. Like, you, a lot of my takes on this podcast to lift the veil. I don't like to just think of the logical explanation. I want to think of what would be cool. Like, oh man, wouldn't it be cool if they used ultrasonic resonance to just lift these rocks?
Easily
into place?
The coolest take. I think that's the coolest theory.
I think it's way cooler that there are ancient Egyptian alchemists throwing strength potions to people to just chuck
rocks. I mean,
rocks.
That's also sick. Cool. But like, would you rather that explanation or would you rather like, oh, yep, they built it out of concrete. Like, no, that's boring. Like, yeah, it might be historically accurate, but like, if it's so long ago, it's not, we can't learn anything from it. To like, we just lack the critical information to, if we don't know definitively what they did and how they did it, we can't learn anything from it, in my opinion. So why not just make some fun until we do figure it out?
That's a good point.
So
just suspend your disbelief to anything, to everything, because
yeah,
any of it could be true.
Yeah, well, not any of it could be true. There are some lines where it's like, okay, that just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get to some of those.
Yeah. So I have one more theory about like how they built it and like who may have built it. And then I'd like to get into some of the reasons why it was built.
Okay, nice.
So Atlantis, guys.
Oh boy.
Are you going straight to Atlantis? Oh my god.
Too deep into it, but
did you get to the dinosaurs?
No, I did not.
All right, we won't talk about that.
So people had theorized in the late 1800s and so on and so forth that perhaps the Atlanteans or descendants of the Atlanteans were the ones responsible for building the pyramids. And there's this guy, I'm trying to remember what website it was on, but there's this guy, Ignatius Donnelly.
Damn.
Suggested that, you know, all the pyramid structures that have appeared around the world, like Mesoamerica, Egypt, Mesopotamia, Bass Pro Shops, they all have a common origin: Atlantis.
Right.
So this, I think it's common belief that Atlantis had insane technological advancements, like beyond our belief.
Right.
And then they fell into the ocean and it was lost forever. And I think the deities at the time had come into it and like bestowed this technology. And, you know, if we just say, yeah, there could have been any technology and we wouldn't know. Like, yeah, they could have built the pyramids, or descendants like got away before it fell into the ocean and spread across the world and built the pyramids. And I think there is a word for it. It was like dispersionism or something like that.
Yeah,
I gotta remember it. But in the meantime, what are your takes / expand on it, please?
So, is this theory saying that the Atlantean culture came up with the shape of the pyramid, but no one else would have been able to come up with the shape of the pyramid?
Like the means of building a pyramid of this magnitude.
Okay, so they didn't invent the pyramid shape, but they were just the only ones able to.
No. Like they had the ideas or the technology or both as to how to build it big.
So what's interesting about that, I have to pull this up. Yeah. Plato is the source for the original Atlantis story.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like in a commentary about what Plato overheard a conversation from someone from somewhere, and it traces all the way back to an Egyptian priest who claims that he knew the story from like many, 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 many generations ago. So right from the very, very first onset of the Atlantis myth, there's a connection to Egypt and like the Egyptian priesthood, which is interesting. Like, oh, maybe they had. And I think actually in that story, I forget which of Plato's writings it was. I believe it's in the dialogue about politics and like kingdoms and countries. And the Egyptian is telling this Greek guy about Atlantis. And the point of the story is like, you Greeks think you invented, you know, these things and you're so cultured. You have no idea. You think your history goes back far? Us Egyptians, we can trace back history a billion times further back than you. And he kind of tells a story about Atlantis to prove.
To be fair, I don't think the Atlanteans were very cultured. So I'm
Nick,
glad
should we say what you're referring to?
No, we won't, but I'll just say that based on the the wacky stories.
Okay. Oh, I found it. I know. Again, Aaron, tell me. I'll cut this if you think it's too long.
Oh, please go ahead. The listeners need to know.
There's a separation between the original Atlantis story, which is like a paragraph, and then the crazy myths that come up with about Atlantis hundreds of years later.
They're wild.
Wild. The original one is just that the character Critias in Plato's dialogue claims he heard the story of Atlantis from his grandfather, who heard it from an Athenian statesman, Solon, who had heard it from an Egyptian priest, who said that it happened 9,000 years ago. So,
also, wait, did the ancient Greeks and Egyptians like trade with each other? I didn't know.
I guess so.
It wasn't talk. Cleopatra and what's his face? Wasn't he Greek?
That was Rome.
Caesar?
Mark Anthony and Caesar.
Oh, no.
I mean, they were Romans, but I mean, definitely by that time.
Yeah, it's close enough.
There must be, because this is 300 years before Plato's time and then 9,000 years away. And Plato's time is in BC. I want to say 2000 BC. I might be so wrong.
Not that far.
Let's see. Yeah, actually, that would be crazy far. It's probably like
Plato
500
is like
BC.
427.
Okay. So roughly 9,000 BC is when Plato's claiming Atlantis was around.
Okay.
I wonder, does that line up with like what people say the pyramids?
So I think Atlantis has been like, it was around for like thousands of years. And then like, I think it lines up that it like fell into the ocean at some point when Egypt was around.
I don't know.
I gotta remember the dates. I might be able to.
Well, we really are trying to say Atlantis was real right now.
No, really.
Yeah, that's got to be its whole own episode, maybe. But yeah, basically, a technologically advanced civilization passed down or built the pyramids. Is my interpretation of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you guys have any comments, I'll get into some crazy things.
I think we can revisit Atlantis at another time to go even more insane.
That should be a whole episode.
Frank, that's you.
Yeah.
I will become schizophrenic for that episode.
Excellent.
All right.
You will be Zanfretta, but Atlantis.
Yes.
So, have you guys heard of a thing called pyramid power?
Oh yeah. which version?
So, pyramid power, for those listening, and you guys can correct me, fill in the blanks. It's a theory that pyramids, like just as a shape in general,
have
so many benefits, including but not limited to preserving food, sharpening and maintaining razor blades, bolstering health. I don't know. They didn't expand upon this, but I just wrote thought form incubator.
The tulpas go there.
Like
to
a tulpa or like just brainstorming.
I don't know.
Let's go with tulpas.
I didn't go into, we'll go with tulpas. And triggering sexual urges.
So it was an orgy hub.
Again, didn't go into that one, but
I guess they were right.
There's an idea that throughout history, like pyramids have the power to, or well, I guess not throughout history. It's more of a New Age theory, but pyramids provide these benefits and more. And I think the theory first originated in like the 1930s. From a French ironmonger and pendulum dowsing author, Antoine Bovis.
Wait, what title?
Pendulum dowsing. Okay, yes, I'm familiar with this now.
He said while he was at the Great Pyramid in the King's Chamber, he saw a garbage can piled with dead animals that were not decaying.
No.
And it makes you wonder.
Does it? Does it make
you
wonder?
How can they not decay? It must be the power of the pyramids. But then I like read on and got kind of confused from the source. And it said supposedly Bovis never visited Egypt. So I don't know if he was just making it up or like if he had sent somebody else to go investigate, but
Oh my god, I don't know. It was Crowley.
Ooh.
But this guy inspired a lot of other people to be like, oh yeah, pyramids have power. And there's a Czech man, Karel Gerbal. He tried to patent the Pharaoh's shaving device where he magnetized a pyramid, obviously made of metal, and then put razor blades parallel to the field.
What?
And it would supposedly sharpen and preserve the razors.
What?
Yeah. There is a website I found called the Pyramid Spiritual Societies Movement. It's quite the read. If you guys want to just ever look at it,
we'll have it linked.
Look after the episode. Oh, we'll have it linked. But it's got all the new age ideas and like the tenets of like, okay, you know, what are you supposed to do? Like, what are the beliefs? A Q&A, like how to get rid of fears. And the guy in charge answers, live with fearless persons.
Ah, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and they have their own pyramids.
For $800.
So I didn't really spend too much time. They have things like 18 guiding principles, be a vegetarian.
okay.
That's not one of the guiding principles. That's just a separate tab. One of the principles actually is be vegetarian. Oh. Eat accordingly only to need.
Well,
okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Utilize full moon nights for intensive meditation.
All right.
Last night was full moon, or was it today?
It was a super moon.
Oh, it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, Frank was getting tricked by the yokai on the moon.
No, I really was.
But yeah, this website and Frank's ramblings, quite the read. So moving on from this nonsense, what do you guys think about it? Is there any belief in it, or is it just kind of bunk?
More of a fan of the power plant theory.
Uh-huh.
That
I'm gonna get into that next.
Oh, nice. Oh. I like that one more than this one.
Yeah,
I like this one because I think shapes have power. Some shapes are cooler than others, right? You look at like a nice regular polygon with equal sides and you're like, this feels right. You look at some dumb squiggle polygon and a scalene triangle. You're like, no, this is not right.
I mean, you know, the pentagram is a shape that it has a lot of associations with it, too.
All of human history, right? Yeah, shapes have connotations and power. And obviously, I guess the presumption with pyramids is that they are pulling energy from below, like from the ground, and channeling it to a point.
This is where I found the LinkedIn post, because I knew about the power plant theory, and then I wanted to find a source to like corroborate the facts. And I found a postdoctoral researcher on LinkedIn describe how the pyramids were actually hydrogen power plants that wirelessly transmitted electricity.
Oh, that's, wow. I have always heard that they were nuclear power plants.
Okay.
Whoa.
Either way, I find flaws with it. But for those of you that don't know, I work for a company that designs utilities for hydrogen power plants. So, not saying I'm an expert, but I know a thing or two about hydrogen power plants. So, in 1998, there's this guy, he wrote a book, Christopher Dunn wrote the book, The Giza Power Plant. And basically, his theory is the Great Pyramid of Giza had internal chambers and passages that were designed to create a chemical reaction to generate hydrogen gas by using iron and vinegar. Which I don't know. I'm not a chemist.
Is that possible?
I don't know that that's how you create hydrogen. Maybe it is. I don't know. But then this hydrogen gas was used to power an electric generator And basically the shapes of the pyramids and like obelisks in general act as a means to transmit electricity wirelessly.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if I believe that it's a hydrogen power plant, because for those of you that don't know, hydrogen is extremely explosive. I think, and I'm not going to, I don't remember it. So, or I don't have it written down. So this is all from memory. Think from like 4% to 70%. It is extremely explosive.
Wait, what do those numbers mean?
Purity of hydrogen.
In like a region? Like
in like the air.
Oh.
So like if wow. the air is comprised of like 70% hydrogen, yeah, you're going to blow up.
Even if, did you say 4%?
I could be wrong, but
I mean, that's how the Hindenburg blew up, right?
I thought that was
I don't think it was hydrogen. I think it was helium, though.
Wasn't that before helium was used? Wasn't hydrogen used because it was so plentiful?
I don't know. Anyway, yes, I got it correct. Mostly correct. 4% to 75% of hydrogen in air.
Wow. So very, yeah. And the Hindenburg was hydrogen, which seems like a terrible idea in retrospect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you could, basically what we make at E1 is things to monitor the purity of your hydrogen, because it's very efficient for cooling generators. So if you can stay above the 75%, you're golden. Like 90% and up, you're like great. But I find it hard to believe that A, they can maintain the purity levels that are required to make it not explosive, but B, that they could keep it just in the pyramid. Like, how do you like store it? Like, what, you're just gonna walk in there and just like breathe in? Yeah, where are the fuel cells, Nick?
They got swept away in the flood.
Oh, of course. Now, not to bring more people into it, but Nikola Tesla, hey. to move on from hydrogen and just move to general power plants, you know, he had theorized that wireless transmission is possible. Basically, you inject the one idea was you inject the electricity into the earth at the right frequency and resonate. It would resonate and amplify in the earth, and then you could just tap it at another point and get the electricity out.
Whoa. This is why they killed him.
Well, I think he actually had looked into pyramids because it is, I think, a good shape for harnessing. I could be wrong, but I think in my schizophrenic lookings, I did see something about pyramids on Nikola Tesla. Maybe not. But I thought I had seen something about Nikola Tesla and the pyramids. So I encourage you guys to look further for more details. But another way that you can transmit electricity wirelessly, supposedly, is, you know, you put electrical power and just electromagnetic currents just into the air.
What? And
generate limitless energy. Well, think about it. Like, you can transmit data and stuff over the air, like Wi-Fi, you know, Bluetooth.
Radio.
Like, that's all electricity, radio waves and stuff like that. It's all just electromagnetic waves.
So all the pyramids across the world were connected in a power grid of limitless earth energy,
or they were used locally at like certain obelisks to power, perhaps. Like, if they had this technology, you have to think they were using the technology to power something. So maybe they had electric tools and stuff.
They were probably powering like the Las Vegas sphere or something like that.
Probably.
Yeah, I would say
they need like 10 pyramids for that, right?
Yeah.
So,
big casino.
Nick, I know you said you like this one. What are your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was going to be the nuclear one. I've heard that the pyramids were actually nuclear power plants, but I like this one too, in the sense that it's a power plant. I mean, you're right that, yeah, where are they storing it? I don't know. Also for the nuclear, where'd they store that? I don't know.
Or where's the nuclear waste?
I don't know where that is. Maybe, okay, hear me out. They had a nuclear power plant and then they used the hydrogen power plant to generate enough energy to get rid of the nuclear waste. That's what the hydrogen was used for. Oh,
and then they had 10,000 people to just clear the waste out of
push the waste on sleds
into more compact squares that weighed more.
And then when they got really hot and sweaty, they jumped into the canals that they built for recreation
with the Atlanteans. I mean,
you gotta cool the nuclear generator somehow.
All right, I think we cracked the case.
But wait, the people didn't believe it would work.
So then they had a giant orgy in the pyramid.
I was going to say, that's why they called it denial.
Oh, ha, good one. Oh,
sorry.
I think mine was better.
Listeners, you decide. Email us.
Who is funnier, Frank or me?
Wednesday at 9 p.m. at gmail.com.
/.
Is that actually an email?
Yes, that's an email. Yes, it's a Gmail. Wednesday at 9 p.m. Fully spelled out, not the number, at gmail.com. Subject line, and I will be sure to read it.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. All right. Frank, anything about this theory that you want to touch on? Or do you want me to get into this last little bit of nonsense I have saved for the end?
I just love that people theorize that they were like huge power plants. And then we're like, but what do we use them for? And then we're like, well, I don't know.
Don't think about it that hard, man. Come on.
I didn't think about that yet. So I don't know. I think it's so funny, though.
Laser weapons.
I mean, maybe that's what they're powering.
To kill the aliens.
Yeah, they got the technology from the aliens, but didn't want to be subservient to the aliens.
Yeah.
So they needed to power laser weapons to start an alien uprising.
Yep.
And I'm here for
it. It's that easy.
Solved.
Case closed.
All right. So, last little bits of things. This is going to be crazy nonsense, guys. I apologize in advance. There's so much more that could have been done with this last topic, but a lot of people believe that the pyramids hide hidden measurements or have some significant measurements to
them. It's like that coincidence YouTube video from Vsauce.
Yeah. So basically that's going to be the end here. So one of the theories is the Orion correlation theory.
Well, as opposed to the Pearson correlation coefficient, like
what's that?
No. So basically they're theorizing that the three largest pyramids, they're located in such a manner that it matches up pretty closely, like almost exactly, with the three main stars of Orion's belt.
Okay.
Interesting.
And so, you know,
that's not that weird. A bit of,
okay. it gets dumber. But that's one of the things is like, you know, maybe they're trying to pass on information to, you know, they had astronomy that was booming in Egypt, you know,
sure,
and studied the stars. Now, is it any coincidence that the Great Pyramid is precisely on the 30th degree, halfway between the equator and North Pole, with an error of about 3/60 of a degree?
Wait, why didn't like, you?
How did they get
that? Why didn't you change that to 1/20?
That's what the site
said. No, they didn't even simplify their fractions.
Well, my guess is 60 because, like, 60 seconds.
Like, there's a way of measuring. I guess you're right.
What?
Yeah. I think there's a way of measuring like degrees and radians and stuff in like terms of seconds.
That's true.
So look it up in your free time. Well, learn yourself. So you're saying something.
The Great Pyramid is on the 30th degree.
Yeah. Halfway between the equator and the North Pole.
With an error of about 3/60 of a degree. So it's not precisely on there.
I mean,
wait, so okay, who cares?
3/60 of a degree? How would they have known exactly where to put this thing to be like this level of precision?
Well,
like,
it's okay. So they're saying they came up with the same latitude longitude system that we came up with thousands of years later, and they put it on the line, or is the system?
I mean, the system is based on like the fact that the Earth is round.
Whoa, so, whoa, like, don't get too ahead of yourself.
Yeah, whoa, speak for yourself.
Sorry, the Earth is a velociraptor.
Thank you.
True.
So, yeah, I don't really know. That was just a random tidbit, okay. But it kind of leads us into the ramblings to come. So, if you take the base perimeter, which is 3,024 feet,
okay,
and you multiply it by 43,200, you get the Earth's equatorial circumference.
Okay.
Coincidence?
Yes. You can just multiply any number by the number you need to get the number you want.
But then if you multiply its height, which is 481 feet, by 43,200, you get the polar
plus
radius
or minus
of the
some
Earth.
Erosion, though.
Well, yeah, but like,
so maybe not 481.
Oh my god.
Okay.
What's the polar radius? What's that like at the poles? Like the widest point of the...
I believe so. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
So this would imply that the Egyptians had knowledge of the size of the Earth, which would be phenomenal.
Or they really liked the number 43,200.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, Nick, because what is the significance of that number?
Well, couldn't tell you.
43,200 is the axial precession of the Earth, essentially describing like how it wobbles on its axis.
What is the unit? Yeah, what is the
beats me. I don't know. I was starting to get pretty tired, and some of this information was just going over my head.
Okay, go on.
But if you look at Graham Hancock's stuff, yeah.
Who's okay. That?
Wait, do you know who Graham Hancock
is?
Yes,
I know Graham Hancock. He's a UFO guy.
Yeah, so he was the one that came up, I think, with this metric here. But
it's Von Daniken.
Essentially, a quote says is derived from a key motion of the Earth, which is called the precession of the Earth's axis. The Earth wobbles on its axis very slowly at a rate of 1 degree every 72 years. So, again, I don't know what the units are on it or what the axial precession is, but it essentially just means like how it rotates about its axis. Because, you know, seasons and stuff.
Well, but so interesting. Upon a quick Google on Wikipedia, it says, in particular, axial precession can refer to the gradual shift in the orientation of Earth's axis of rotation in a cycle of approximately 26,000 years.
26,000 times 2?
Is 52.
Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly. I don't know. Because I don't
I'll
think
trust
it's
you.
Years.
I'll trust
I think
you.
It's, I don't know. I got it from Graham Hancock. Blame him.
Easy.
But what else is important about 43,200?
I don't know.
Well, it's a multiple of 72.
Oh my God. You're right.
Which I'll touch on 72 in a second. But 43,200 is also the number of syllables in Hindu Rig Veda. Whatever that is. Okay.
And what's that, Aaron?
Rig Veda is an ancient Indian collection of Vedic Sanskrit hymns.
It's
so I guess it's
into
like
scripture,
very similar. Yeah,
it's like the Vedic texts.
Yeah, I guess it's part of the Vedic texts.
Yeah, yeah. So
damn,
it's the exact number of syllables. But okay, fine. We're not buying into the 43,000.
Yeah, what about
72. Good thing you asked. So obviously, you know, it multiplies into 42,200.
Yeah,
but
course.
Also, it's the number of languages spoken at the Tower of Babel.
Okay.
The number of names for God in Jewish Kabbalah.
They just couldn't keep the Jews out of it.
The number of temples at Angkor Wat.
Okay.
Whoa.
And the degrees longitude between Angkor Wat and the Great Pyramid.
Okay.
That's kind of crazy.
I just find it funny that in every conspiracy theory, someone has to throw something Jewish in there.
That's true.
Every time.
I mean, it is one of like the primary monotheistic religions anyway. So now, okay, let's take another step. 432. It's the harmonic frequency for optimal musical resonance.
You see this on YouTube.
We always tune to 440, I thought.
That's a conspiracy that they changed it from the original, which was the better.
I don't know.
It hurts. But
yes. Or I thought it was 431, but I mean, I'll trust 432.
Oh my God. An 8 is a factor of 72.
But you could look up YouTube videos now and it's like perfect harmonic frequency to study to sleep to. And it's 432, I guess.
Yeah. So, is it possible that the Egyptians encoded math and important measurements in the building of the pyramid in order to relay this information to later societies?
No. I'd say it's possible. I mean,
it's possible. And given that, you know, it would take a technological miracle to build these things, who's to say they didn't try to do that?
Here's my last thing on this. So you said that 72 or that 43,200 is a multiple of 72.
Yep.
So upon just dividing 43,200 by 72, it's 600. How come no one is talking about the number 600?
I thought you were going to say it wasn't
that'd be funny.
Visible. That'd be so funny.
You need 600 to be able to get to that. So how come no one cares about that number?
Well,
can you think of anything that's 600?
My 600 pound life.
I don't know. I looked up 600 significance and it says 600 angel number meaning numerology.
Oh, let's hear it.
Is the first result. Okay. Let's see. If you keep seeing angel number 600 repeatedly, it is a message from your angels and spiritual guides that you need to prioritize your family and home life.
Okay.
Take time to check in with your family members and make sure that everyone is getting the love and support they need.
Okay.
What?
Okay, that's harmless. Okay.
Wait. Also, Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came upon the earth.
Oh.
And that's a direct quote from Genesis.
Oh, well, there snap. It is.
The flood did happen once again. Proof because
Noah built the pyramids.
Yeah, I don't really know if there's a number or meaning behind 600, nor do I think there's much meaning. It's kind of a weird coincidence that like you multiply the perimeter and the height by the same thing and you get two measurements of the earth. Like that's kind of weird coincidence to not be something, but yeah, it's kind of odd. But yeah, we could have definitely deep dive of the rabbit hole on what the hidden numbers mean, because you could take 600 be like, oh, the number 600 is used 25 times in the Bible. Yeah. And the number 25 is Christmas, and Christmas is when Jesus was born, and the Egyptians predicted when Jesus would be born.
I do love those leaps. They are really funny.
He did flee to Egypt as a baby for a time, at least in one of the Gospels.
Jesus? Yeah. As a baby? I mean, he got on his little baby legs and ran to Egypt? Listeners, in case you can't tell, we're all a little tired. It's been a work week. it's been crazy. Frank's got holes in his ceiling.
That's true.
And we're grasping at straws here.
Let me ask something though.
We'd like to posit the idea that there's something more to the pyramids.
Sarah, do you know who built the pyramids?
Sarah does not know who built the pyramids.
Does she know it was baby Jesus when he took his little walk? His first steps and then his first pyramid built.
I mean, that's one of the easiest shapes, no?
I mean, for you.
I don't know. I think there's something magical with pyramids. I think there's magical energy. They could heal all disease.
Yep.
Trigger urges,
create tulpas.
No, incubate tulpas.
And keep your razors nice and sharp.
And your meat fresh, I guess.
Frank, you definitely need that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need my meat to.
Why don't they just build fridges fresh out of pyramids?
That's a good question.
So, yeah, that's all I really have. It was a little all over the place, but definitely could have gone a lot deeper in a lot of different areas, but I wanted to just cover the basics of everything and just kind of put the energy out there so that our listeners could interpret it for themselves.
I think we all learned a lot tonight.
I think we definitely learned a lot, lost a lot.
We lived, we laughed,
cells.
We loved.
Very true.
Well, I think that's all we've got for tonight. Check us out on all major platforms, wherever you find your podcasts. Check us out on our website, which we will maybe keep updated.
Yeah, definitely.
And in the future, check out Soapbox for your own podcast hosting needs. And remember, there could be anything hidden in those pyramids. Numbers, people, hydrogen power plants. But just remember, the most important pyramid of them all is the Bass Pro Shop. Have a good night.